You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Bellman.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio, also live streaming on Instagram. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you break free from body shame, binging, and diets that don't work. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you would like to join me today, the number is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It's what's eating at you. It's not what you're eating. It's what's eating at you. So give me a call. And hi, Carly Gash on Instagram. Good to see you. So I have a question from Kylene. She says, I've had back pain for over a week. I'm thinking your question might be, do I feel backed up? Interesting. I wasn't doing much when my lower back went right out. There's something that you talk about with pain. Can you comment here and talk about it tomorrow on the radio show? So I'm talking about it on the radio show. This is a great question, Kylene, because there is such a mind-body connection. Often when we have headaches, for example, and there's no organic cause, number one thing to think about when you have physical pain is there a physical reason for that discomfort? If not, then often people who have, you know, struggle with headaches, they have thoughts. They don't want to think. Painful thoughts. They don't want to think. One person used to always get so much pressure. She would feel an incredible pressure in her head. And she was feeling pressured in her life, but it came out physically. In terms of a backache, Kylene, I would be wondering about, you know, how are you feeling burdened? Hey, Josh, I will be right there. How are you feeling burdened? Are you carrying a lot of weight in your life? What's going on with you that it's hard to, you know, manage? And maybe that's, you know, the back-breaking thought? So a connection, because if there's nothing physically wrong with you, but you have these physiological manifestations, then that is your mind speaking through your body. So interesting, right? I'll get back to this after I talk with Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Dr. Nina. I wanted to talk about the eating at you part. The part that you mentioned about how it's not about what you're eating, it's what's eating at you. And I was wondering, it must be different for every person, right?
Yes. It's what's eating at us. I just want to say, Kylene, I see you on Instagram. I just talked a little bit about your question. I'm going to get back to it after I talk with Josh. And Kylene, if you can call in, please do so. Josh, what is eating at us is always different, not only for every person, but within every person from day to day, depending on what is going on in your life. It is easier, for example, to focus on what you are eating than it is to think about some dissatisfaction in your life, some pain in your life, some regret, some issue, some problem. It's less painful to focus on what we're eating and what we weigh than what is weighing on us. And that, of course, is different for every single person, depending on what is going on in his or her life.
What if it wasn't what's going on in the person's life? What if it was purely sort of like, if it was like a neurosis, or if it was something organic that was wrong with the person's emotional inner life?
I really think using what a neurosis is, And that's old language. That's old Freudian language. So we're not going to use that language. But if there's some, a neurosis is something is bothering them. Something is going on with them, or it's an idea about their place in the universe, their place with other people. These are things that are going on in our lives. I don't mean a specific actual event, but if you are shy and you're afraid of people and they're scary to you and they could be mean or rejecting or withholding or something, so you dare not go and interact with people, that's eating at you. And by the way, as we know, if you don't have fulfilling, satisfying relationships with people, you may turn to food to symbolically fill that void. So there's always something going on with us. It doesn't have to be a specific thing. It can be a general thing.
Yeah, so I agree that food can be used as a way of coping with something going on emotionally within the person. But I'm not sure if that may not have anything to do with the external world, or am I completely wrong?
So the external world and the inner world, there's not that much difference. If are you saying that the external world, meaning a very specific thing is happening in someone's life and they feel anxious about it and so they're eating, as opposed to an idea about the world? Or it could be a relationship to ourselves. Yes, it's different according to everybody, but there's too much of a line you're drawing between the internal and the external world. How we feel about ourselves is influenced by our experiences in the world. How we feel about the world is also influenced by the way we feel about ourselves. So it's if something's going on, if something is eating at you, let's look at what that is as opposed to what you're eating.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense. Yeah, I feel like you're right. There's no real way to separate the two. I was just coming at it not from a point of view of something externally happening to me, but we can certainly talk about that. For me, it was just probably something that happened in childhood as opposed to something happening in my current life. Does that make sense?
You know, I think that there's often too much of a distinction between the past and the present. People, because I'm a psychoanalyst, people say, oh my God, is it always about the past? Like the past, I'm not talking about the past. I am talking about how the past has influenced and impacted the present. Because our experiences of the past have everything to do with the way that we experience ourselves and others. I just want to say on Instagram, I'm reading a comment. I am actually really, really hurt. That's why I think about myself. That's why I think nasty things about myself. Binging avoids my inner critic. The voices are the voices from people that were harming me until today. Yes. So that's a good example of how we internalize the way we are treated, or we interpret what happens around us, and that becomes our view of the world. And if we're being criticized, we can criticize ourselves. And then guess what? We want to eat just to get away from our own mean voice or something like that. So the past is not in the past. The past is haunting our present. And the idea is, let's figure out how you came to relate to yourself and the world. And that has to do with the past. We are not born self-critical. We are not born judging ourselves. We learn that. And we learn that, you know, in the near or far past. So it's important to look at, well, what did you learn? How did that affect your relationship with yourself? And then how does that affect your relationship with food?
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. I would say that for me, I feel like it resonates with me because what you just did with me, external world, but it also might have something to do with the external world. And that really resonated with me because how could it not? We would have to find something.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. That was supposed to be off. Sorry, I'm here.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to say that to separate them is probably not correct in the long run. I mean, you're a couple of steps ahead of me, so I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Josh, and I appreciate all your questions, which are very, they're very thought-provoking questions. But, the world is not external or internal. One influences the other. How we experience the world is influenced by how we, for example, so if we do, if we are hard on ourselves and we go and talk to other people, it's very easy to imagine that those people are criticizing us because we criticize ourselves. So we project our self-criticism into other people. So are people actually criticizing us, or do we just think they are because we're so self-critical? That's an example of the outside world is a reflection of our internal world. And that is why our internal world is the most important thing to address when it comes to changing our relationship with food for many, many reasons. One of them being if we're mean to ourselves, if we're harsh, we're going to eat to get away from our own mean voice.
So my guess would be that we're treating the external world as if it was food in some way.
No. No. Food is we experience the world in whatever way we experience it. And that can make us nervous or anxious. And if we don't know how to comfort ourselves, we use food to resolve that. If people are unpredictable, unavailable, and unreliable, we use food to symbolically fill the void that we feel as a result of not connecting with others. We don't experience the world as food. We experience the world as we experience it. And eating is a way of managing the feelings that come up as because of that. If we experience the world as wonderful, we're not going to need to eat for comfort or escape or any of those reasons or to fill a void. So it's
right.
Eating is the solution to the problem. It is not the problem.
Right. So I would say back to is seems to be a factor in this, right?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. So you're talking about generalizations, Josh, and I would invite you to talk about your specific situation, not the unconscious, but what's going on with you.
Right. So for me, getting back to the beginning of the phone call, I would say that I seem to be using food to, I use food maybe instead of relating.
Well, can you say more about that?
Yeah, I would just say that it seems to allow me to feel something that feels like relating, but it's not real relating. And also, I would say it's like you said, it's easier than having to deal with another person, maybe. And I would also say that when you said no to me, it reminded me of when Freud said there's no no in the unconscious. Like there's no, like his paper on negation.
Josh, now you're talking about negation. And I want to point out to you how you go from your specific situation to talking about generalizations about psychoanalytic thinking, which is an avoidance protection tactic to avoid your specific pain, hurt, conflict, wish, whatever. So that's why I really invite you to talk about what's going on with you and not go to the general conceptual way of avoiding the specific, which is what's going on.
So I would agree with that. And I would just say, continuing what I was saying, it seems as though food is representative of a relationship, and I use food instead of you know, dealing with the fears of relationship or dealing with the whatever comes up in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? So, and I recognize that I do. Yeah, go ahead.
The solution is not focusing on food. The solution is going like, what makes you fear relationships? Where did you learn? This is how the past affects the present, right? Where did you learn that people can be scary or that people cannot be relied upon? Because when our first experience of relationship is being fed as an infant. So in our psyche, food is relationship. That's why we talk about comfort food. We really talk about the wish to, we're really referencing the wish to be comforted. So I would ask you, Josh, how did you learn to believe that people are a little bit scary or unpredictable or whatever?
Yeah, I really like that. I mean, I feel like that's everything, you know, because we, at some point, it was just too scary to you just hit the nail on the head because, I mean, I would like you to say more about that, but I could say something, but I feel like there must have been something that made us do what we're doing. Yeah.
Trusted in you, right? That us is, again, going to the general rather than specifically you to ask yourself, hey, what is it that made, and I'm talking as you, me, Josh, feel uncomfortable with reaching out to people? What is it that makes me, what am I afraid of? What makes me anxious or nervous? What is it that I feel and where did that come from? This is the root issue. Your solution is eating or not eating. We're doing something with food. So it's like, what are your thoughts about relationships? Where did those come from? And once you can see what that is, you can start challenging your ideas.
Yeah, I feel like it's just an overall hurt. You know, parents disappoint us. I've talked about my dad. And I feel like that's probably, and thus, it was too dangerous to be open and vulnerable, you know, because, yeah.
So here's the thing is if you feel like you are disappointed, if you're disappointed by parents, kids don't have the wherewithal to say, I'm disappointed in my parents. They're really not the kind of people that I need and they're not attuned to me and they're not giving me what I need. Kids say, what I'm the disappointment. What's wrong with me that I didn't bring out the parents who are loving and capable and able to give me what I need? And so then that begins a whole situation where you are the problem. And that's so painful that then, you know, people eat over that. So these are things I want you to think about. Call me next week and talk to me more about the specific relational issues that you had with growing up, and we're going to look at how that made you have this relationship you have with yourself, food, and the world.
That sounds good. And then I would just say lastly that it would be nice to, like you said, the last word you used, the world, to take it back to the relationship we have with the world, which is what you said no about. But I'm calling you on it because I want to say that food does have something to do with the world, even though you said food is the solution, not the problem. It's just a difference of semantics, you know. But anyway, thank you very much. Hopefully okay. I make sense.
Thank you for always a very interesting and unique perspective. Josh, I look forward to speaking with you again, hopefully next week.
I really appreciate it.
Okay. So Josh was making a distinction between our inner worlds and our outer worlds, but one affects the other. You know, like it goes back and forth. If we are hard and harsh on ourselves and judgmental, we go out in the world and we expect people to be judgmental to us, or we find people that are judgmental and we say, "See, can't trust people. They're judgmental. I am just going to have a relationship with my body and with food," even though you don't consciously think of it that way. Okay, so Kylene, are you still here, Kylene? Kylene had talked about her back problems, has been having back problems. So I'm wondering if there are no physiological reasons for that, for those back problems. Let's take a look at what burdens you children. What atlas holding up the world? Are you feeling the pressure of the world on your back? Often our bodies speak what our minds cannot. How are you burdened? Kylene is saying yes. Yes to which one? Or yes, you're here, or how are you feeling burdened? If you feel comfortable sharing it.
Are you talking to me, Dr.?
Because sometimes we don't want to say it. We don't want to know it. We don't want to, Carla Gash, hold that thought. We don't want to, I see you, I'll be right with you. We don't want to know what we don't want to know. So we kind of shut it down, and yet our bodies speak it. So our backs hurt. We have headaches. We have other manifestations, you know, of the mind-body connection, which I will get to. We feel that way. Nothing more than usual. Well, maybe it is the usual, Kylene, that is actually feeling more and more burdensome. Maybe nothing has changed, but the way you experience it has changed. Hold that thought. Carly Gash?
Hi, Dr. Nina.
Hi, Carly Gash. What's going on?
I was sitting there listening to Josh, and I said, should I call? I said, no, I'm fine. I have it all. Like, everything is fine. And then I thought, that's exactly why I have to call. Because I'm saying fine, I'm avoiding cold to you, and I'm eating chips in my leg instead of working. So I'm like, it's time to call.
Okay. I'm glad you are. What are those chips about? We know chips, food mood formula. Chips is a form of anger.
Formula is anger. I just recently realized, you know, there is like wheel of emotions, and which boils down to like six main emotions. Mad, sad, glad, afraid. And I read this anger section. It has like the main emotions, anger, and then like sub emotions like mad, aggressive, lustful, and then even lighter expressions of anger like skeptical, sarcastic, withdrawn. And I'm like, when I read those slight ones, and I'm like, oh my God, almost my whole life I live in anger. It's just they are manifested in a slighter versions like, excuse me, like provoked, furious.
Remember that often people say, well, I'm not angry, I'm frustrated, or I'm just annoyed. These are all forms of anger, frustration, annoyance, irritation, rage, ourselves. So if, Carly Gash, you weren't eating chips to perhaps express that, what would, like, and you had to talk about what in the world, what in the outside world, as Josh might say, is making you feel some form of frustration, annoyance, irritation, whatever? Mm-hmm. What would you be talking about if you weren't expressing it with food?
You don't let us to turn anger to ourselves. So if I could turn it outwards, I would say I'm angry at the people I'm dealing with. But impartially, I understand that it's my responsibility to set boundaries or choose better people.
Okay, forget logic right now, right? Let's just state, because what you just did was you said how you felt, and then you should be able to feel.
Okay, so I'm different angry from at you the are partner. Wait,
Carly Gash, hold on. That's different from what you are doing or should do. Let's stay with just how you are feeling.
So I'm pissed off, like right after your show, I have to drive to this kind of partner, like the guy we're working with, business related. We are from the same industry, but he is so manipulative in a sense. He doesn't give me what I want, but he wants all my like business knowledge in a nutshell, pretty much for free. And then I'm like, he's not delivering his portion. And then I'm like, I'm very angry, but I forgot my charger there, so I'm going to go there. And I want to offer, like, either you give me access to what I'm asking, and I can help you out with my knowledge in return for that, or it's really my somewhere because that's my time. And he doesn't have good working conditions. It's a place where there are so many distractions. His dog is there. I mean, I love pets myself, but I spend more time accommodating his German Shepherd rather than, and it could make money because, you know, at work, you got to focus. Okay. You have to.
All right, Carly, hold on. Okay, so stop. You're saying that you're going to someone who's supposed to help you, but you end up helping that person. What about that dynamic is familiar? Someone who's supposed to help you, but you end up helping them. That's your mother.
That's my mother. And on top of that, the guy has paranoia and he takes drugs. And that's a huge trigger for me because I don't like these people check out and drugs because I've dealt with these people before. It's very hard for me.
Okay. So Carly Gash, let's just stay with the mother thing. So this is an example of how the past is not over. It just gets re-experienced in the present. The feelings that you have towards this guy are likely on their own. They exist, but they also are the feelings that you have about your mom, who doesn't take care of you and wants you to take care of her. And so, you know, that's why you feel it so strongly. And that's who you're actually mad at. And that's where the chips are. So focus on what's it like to think about that with your mom. Forget the guy for a second. What comes up with your mom?
Oh, Dr. Nina, this is awful. I am so enraged, infuriated, angry. I like feeling air burning my head of how I feel towards my mom. Because recently I stepped into the stage where I stopped like taking absolute care of her, treating her like a fragile baby. And I said, like, you're 62-year-old woman, you can figure it out on your own. And I really am battling with her, like with her manipulations, because you know I cannot drop her completely because she really has nobody to help. And in my country, it's kind of hard. It's not like an
America. It was your feeling.
So,
Carly Gash, I'm going to just sort of interrupt you whenever I feel that you're going away from your emotionality.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you are angry and disappointed in her.
Yes.
And just stay
honestly,
that.
It really pisses me off. How can it be happy? I'm not Dr. Nick. Don't. It's ineffective. It's stupid. They cannot, like, see further than their own nose. And, I mean, but maybe she can. Maybe she perfectly knows me because she raised me and she programmed me this exactly way. So I'm kind of her servant, just the way her, like, narcissistic mother did, you know.
Carly Gash, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to cut you off because now you're talking about her instead about how you feel. Why is this important? Because eating chips is a way of expressing how you feel, only it's a way that just makes you then turn that anger on yourself for eating chips. And as soon as you start talking about her logically and the country you are from and all of that, you're not
talking about feeling. Okay, I understood. I understood the So I am my anger. I feel guilty expressing anger towards her because she is a person with special needs. And I feel very, very guilty expressing anger to her. But I am angry at her. I am just angry. Yeah, that sucks. It just, I'm sad as well, you know.
Yeah, but
I'm really a hostage of this situation. That's why I'm angry. I don't want to be in this dynamic, but I kind of have no choice. And this is for life, Dr. Nina. This is for life. I never made this choice in the first place, but I'm the one who has to like carry it.
There's how you feel.
I'm sad, I'm angry, and just very pissed.
Yeah, there's how you feel and there's what to do. So stay with how you feel, how disappointed, how upsetting this is. Got to get that out rather than distract from that, because that's how we get rid of feelings. We express them. We can't think them away. We can't positive think them away. We can't drop them. We can't stuff them. We can't starve them away. We can only speak them.
I feel disgusting, Dr. Nina. It's been poisoning my days of my life since I was born. I just don't like it. I just, like in life, if I don't like a person, I can walk away from them. But in this situation, I can't. So if I was a billionaire, I probably bought like an army of caregivers and everything. But I'm not there yet. It's really frustrating. It sucks. I know what it is.
Yes, and I can hear how you're now getting in touch with both your anger and your sadness. And that's how we get rid of feelings, is to stay with that, stay with how it feels. We won't change the situation, but by expressing our feelings, we change the way we feel about the situation, which is why we mourn when someone passes away. It's not to bring the person back to life. It's so that we deal with the loss. You know, we come to terms with the loss by going through a grieving process, which is very important for you to do, both what happened and what didn't happen.
Dr. Nina, will there be end to this anger? Because I've been feeling angry pretty much since I was born.
Yeah, well, forget since you were born. How about talking about in the last 5 minutes? There will be anger if you express it against yourself. When we express anger and then we get mad at ourselves, oh, I can't believe I'm eating chips. Now that anger is directed at us, but really that anger belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
When you divert and go into an intellectual place of this is how it is and this is how it is in my country, now you're no longer expressing your emotion. Now you're having a thought that is taking you away from your feelings. So the answer is yes. When you fully express the anger and the sadness and the range of feelings you have about this situation, you will feel better and you will not be as triggered by people in your present life who remind you of this dynamic, like this guy that you're talking about. In other words, yeah. Or to this intensity. Oh, Carly, gosh, it got disconnected. I was thinking that was an awfully long pause. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're back.
How okay. I don't want to deal with these emotions, but I accidentally pressed the disconnect button. Accidentally.
Well, maybe that is what's called accidentally on purpose. That
purposeful
reveals your conflict.
Accident.
Yeah, purposeful accident. Like motivated accident. So a part of you wants to express this anger so that you don't express it with chips or other crunchy foods, or that you don't eat and get mad at yourself. Take that anger that you actually feel in your life towards others and put it on yourself. So part of you wants to express that. And then another part of you that, as you just said, feels guilty, accidentally disconnected the call.
And you know who also does that? This avoidance mechanism. My mom does that. Whenever I talk about something like you do, Dr. Nina, oh, we got to deal with what's there. She just avoids, and that's part of me which internalized this type of behavior, and that's not what I want. But the good news that I have the part of me, which is me, real me, and I want to build it, so I'm very hopeful. Also, this week I decided to kind of be on a hopeful side. You know I have so many hard feelings, and it's hard, honestly, it's very, very hard. But I decided to go through feelings, but still be focused on things I can do and accomplish them, which also includes calling today and learning one more time, learning how to express my emotions. Because I really do believe that once I master what you're teaching us, thank you so much, Dr. Dina, it's the solution. It's hard for me, but I will never give up. I will master this.
Yeah. Well, it's really about embracing our humanity. We live in a society that says, hey, don't have feelings. You're strong if you push them away and you're weak if you express them. And so what do we do when we have emotions, which are just reactions to situations? If we don't learn how to be with ourselves or comfort ourselves or express ourselves or respond to ourselves, we use other things to do so, whether that's food or whatever, food or to anything else that is sort of self-destructive, any other self-destructive coping mechanisms. The key is to start to relate differently to ourselves, to learn how to be with ourselves, to learn how to comfort ourselves, to learn how to express ourselves. And when we make peace with ourselves, we make peace with food. So there is hope.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. I appreciate your help. I will make a point this week to express my anger, like, you know, kind of negative emotions. Because I'm holding on to them, but...
Not negative. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. I hear this all the time. Negative emotions. Guess what? Just as food is either good or bad...
I didn't know the proper word, Dr. Nina.
I'm explaining. It's good if you have certain food and bad if you have other food. Like, food is split into good and bad, when really it's a continuum of, you know, unhealthy to healthy. Feelings are also described as negative when actually they are just feelings. They are reactions mm-hmm. to situations. Some are not pleasant.
I understand that, Dr. Nina. What I meant is that I don't know the proper word how to describe the emotions which cause like stress hormones really enough in comparison to kindness.
Carly Dash, I'm not done. Please don't interrupt me.
I'm sorry.
I'm not done. When we talk about negative emotions, which we do in our culture, right? Then we feel like we're being negative, just like we think we're being bad if we eat a carb. Feel like we're being, we have to change the language about this. You're not having a negative emotion. You're having an emotion that may be unpleasant. But when we talk about it being a negative emotion, that feels like we're being negative. Now we feel bad just because we're having a feeling. And I know, Carly Gash, English is not your first language. So I'm not just talking to you. I'm just sort of making this little rant because I hear it all the time. And this is a perfect opportunity to talk about it. We are feelings are just reactions to situations. We've got to normalize that and not call them negative when they are painful or difficult. Okay, I'm done. What were you saying?
Thank you, Dr. Nina. So how do we call, I didn't mean that I don't have problems with expressing negative and thinking that I'm negative. It's not that. What I meant is that I don't like, what's the word, collective word for the emotions like anger, frustration, like sadness, the emotions which kind of produce hormones, which doesn't help me to feel better in comparison to the emotions like happiness, kindness, the ones which I really enjoy and I feel good.
Okay,
what's the collective word?
That's when people call them negative emotions. And that's when you've got to stop thinking. There's no collective word because they're all different feelings. And by the way, hormones aside, we have minds, not just brains. When we have brains and we just think we're based on hormones and chemicals and we're being swept around by the winds of our environment, no. It's the way we think, by the way, that also creates neurotransmitters and creates changes in our brains. The way we think ultimately can be very powerful, more powerful than anything else. So when you say, oh, I am feeling angry, let me express that. This is a sign that I'm angry. I'm sad. Oh, I'm sad because of this reason. Let me express that and then also respond to myself, right? So it's rather than observe your emotions, express it, and then respond to yourself. The other thing I hear a lot, not that I heard you say this, Carly Gash, is I got to sit in my feelings. Sitting in your feelings, which sounds to me like, sitting in like dirty bathwater. That's my association to sitting in feelings. Doesn't do anything but make you feel worse and gross. No, we don't sit in feelings. We express feelings. Just how do you get rid of feelings? We have to express them and put them into words and talk to someone. Call me, write in the journal, talk to my online groups and our private Facebook group. If you're a member of my Food for Thought community, reach out, call a friend, get it out, because it's important to get it out in words. That's how we get rid of feelings.
Also, coming to my question, why I called them negative emotions, I didn't mean that like negative in a sense that labeling them, oh, these are bad emotions. No, I just wanted a collective word to explain that I don't like to explain them, express those emotions. I think that's why I think part of why I'm holding off expressing them, I actually don't feel physically well after my fights with mom or like arguments, shouting, everything hurts. Like, for example, right now I'm talking to you, but my throat hurts because I've been talking in a loud voice yesterday, like arguing with somebody.
Okay.
Or after I deal with my mom, my head hurts. Like, by leaving, I know.
Okay, so that goes back to what Kylene asked earlier, which is the relationship between that mind-body connection. So if you don't feel physically well when you talk to your mom, that is, in part, maybe your throat hurts because you're yelling, but maybe your head hurts because it's painful to think about these things. It's painful to see her as she is. It hurts. Maybe it's the thoughts that hurt that come out as physical sensations. And that's something to think about, whether, it's Kylene with her back hurts and something is burdening her. And Kylene, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be something new. It could be collective. It could be that you're finally seeing that you're burdened. It could be that you don't want to carry this burden anymore. Carly Gash, it might make you sick to those physical sensations and see if you can convert them to thoughts and emotions.
Okay. Because right now, that's why I think partially why I avoid expressing anger and all this not so pleasant emotions. I think I don't want to go into this physical pain after expressing them. And I think that's why I'm holding myself from doing so. But I have to do it. So I guess I can express it. And because, I do this. I kind of eat chips or use food to kind of numb them, so I could stay longer a little bit and better feeling emotions. But when I go to express not unpleasant emotions, then everything hurts and it takes me one day after I quarrel with my mom,
but what's missing, I think what's missing is you being responsive to yourself. If we're just left with horrible, if we feel sad, for example, and no one is there for you, if no one is there for you to hug you and reassure you and make you feel better, you're just sort of stuck in the sadness. If you are, if someone hugs you and tells you it's okay, it's all right, yes, of course you feel sad and you're going to feel better, then it's not so scary to be sad or upset. So what's missing is you responding to yourself and being loving to yourself and understanding and validating and acknowledging and reassuring yourself. You're not showing up, Carly Gash, in food, and then you're stuck in a bad feeling physically and emotionally bad when you can be there for yourself in a kind, generous, loving way. Things will change. You won't be stuck with the physical aspects of your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I remember once I felt good. And then I fought with mom. I think it was 1 month or 2 months ago. And I felt good. Then I fought and I said, yes, I'm angry right now. It feels bad, but I'm going to go back to my previous calm, nice state. I don't want to sit in those feelings. I kind of understand that I'm angry, and I feel anger, but I mean, there's nothing I can do. I will go back and I will. And I could reassure myself at the time, partially. The previous good feeling just right before the argument or dealing with this kind of people, it never comes back. Then I have to spend time with friends or go to the gym like for 5 days, you know, to gain back those states, better feeling states. It really cost me a lot. So,
Carly Gash, you are talking about external things that are helping you feel better. That is a terrible way to be in the world. You have to be there for yourself. You cannot rely on the world to be there for you. You've got to be there for you. You have a lot of energy that you put into helping your mom at your own expense, which depletes you and makes you mad. So you symbolically fill the void with food and you eat chips. You have to start showing up with as fear that you are to others, specifically sometimes with your mom, and then things will get better. You have to show up for you. When I say we're making peace with ourselves leads us to make peace with food, that means we have to be there for ourselves and make ourselves feel better, not rely on something external, whether it is food or people. We have to help ourselves. So Carly Gash, something to think about. I'm just about out of time for the show today. So thank you so much for your call. And please practice being nice to yourself. Practice makes progress.
I will. Thank you very much, Dr. Nina. You helped me a lot. I understood I have to show up for myself in my head rather than relying on external.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye, Carly Gash. Yeah, so often we treat ourselves the way we were treated, and we treat other people the way we would want to be treated. And how does that leave us? Empty, angry, hurt, sad, frustrated. And if we don't have a way to show up for ourselves and validate and acknowledge ourselves and be kind to ourselves and make ourselves feel better with words, we use food to soothe, to comfort, to fill the void, to express the anger, all of that. That's why I say food is the solution to the problem. It is not the problem. When we identify the problem and find new ways of responding to ourselves, everything changes. And guess what? It changes for good. If you get a root, if you have a weed in your garden and you get it out by the root, guess what? It does not grow. It's gone for good. When you just pluck a weed, which is dieting and dieting and dieting, the weeds just keep growing back. So that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. If you love the show, please take a moment and go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating or a review. The more reviews and ratings we get, the more we show up in searches and the more people we can help. I say we because this is a joint effort, me and all my callers. Thank you to Josh. Thank you to Carly Gash. Thank you to Kylene for her question. Have a very good week. I'll see you next week. Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, I am live, or you can listen later on Apple Podcasts. Bye for now.
Dr. Nina Savelle-Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.